You're going to hear about Encuentro in a little bit, and since we are such a multicultural society here, especially in the United States, every once in a while, this Sunday in our liturgical year, with only 9 days of Lent left, is known as Lull Sunday. Because yesterday on St. Patrick's Day, we were all Irish. And tomorrow on St. Joseph's Day, we're all going to be Italians. And so this in middle of Lent, we've been on this journey, not for ourselves, but for us all. And you have had the privilege and the support for us in RCIA, for those people who have been journeying towards their baptism. And your support and these last 3 Sundays with the scrutinies have been an important part of that journey that they've been making. Now, I must confess that this Easter is going to be very special for me, because 40 years ago, this Easter vigil, I made my profession of faith and came into this church. Since then, I've had the privilege of working with hundreds of people in RCIA and confirmation so that they too may make their professions of faith. They too may be baptized. They too may become disciples, to know the truth, to share the truth. So those of you who have journeyed with me will recognize this. The question comes, what is faith? Well, I think Scripture gives us a great definition. It's a translation that I've used since I was very little. It's a little different than the New American. It's from Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This week from our consecration prayer, which will be in your bulletin, we focus on God's truth and on evangelization. We're asked to pray this week to Our Lady. Our Lady, star of the new evangelization, enable our hearts to embrace the truth of God. Make us docile and obedient to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and help us always to discern good from evil. And instill in us your zeal to proclaim the gospel of your Son in every time and place. Amen. What a great summary of what RCI and confirmation and even our renewal in Lent is of our faith and the way we are to live our lives as His disciples, living in the truth. Our hearts must embrace the truth if we have any hope of living faith. So let us now spend a few minutes with God's truth, as written in John's Gospel, especially the stories of faith that we've shared with our elect these last 3 Sundays. First part of John is called the Book of Signs. These are dramatic stories of faith responses. They date back to the earliest Jerusalem liturgy that we are aware of, where the church has singled out these stories from John to be read with special meaning here during Lent. So in our modern days, we use 3 of them, the most sacred narratives in his gospel accounts of Jesus' public ministry. We use them on the 3rd, 4th, and here on the 5th Sundays of Lent. So this is the part where you have audience participation. You are 3rd Sunday, you are 4th Sunday, and since you are on our right, you're the chosen ones, you're today. So I'm going to ignore you for a second. I'm going to work with you. You're going to help us remember that the first story, the Samaritan woman at the well, is a coming to faith in the living water. So the story is all about the coming to faith in the living water. Hear the second scrutiny, fourth Sunday. Healing of the man born blind. We don't even know his name. You thought his name was Bartimaeus, didn't you? Well, in the Middle East, Bar means son of. Timaeus, that's his dad. We really never know who he is. We just know he's the son of Timaeus. So what was our message last week from the blind man? Faith grows among trials. Faith grows among trials. I tried. So today, the message is about a guy, we know his name, has two sisters. What is this one all about? Faith tested by death. Faith tested by death. All right. We got a good group over here on the right. So why are these narratives so important to us? They're important because if we start with the woman, it's this preparation for baptism. Water has a meaning to her, but it's not the meaning that God wants it to be. So it shows us that it's very difficult at times to come to Jesus in faith, even when we're that close to Him, having an intimate conversation with Him. I think John's being very realistic when we heard that story, because we tend to get kind of beaten down once in a while in our lives, and we tend to put a chip on our shoulder. And so when come an encounter with someone who's trying to help us, give us some good news, we tend to kind of push them back first, don't we? You know, find out what you're all about here before I open up to you. And that's exactly what she does. It's all about the physical parts of water. But the more and more that he draws her in, she is able to see that there's more to this living water than just what she can draw out of Jacob's well. But even worse yet, this is the first time she's ever met him. Now these guys show up that have been around him for 3 years. And they're even confused. And they don't get it. They've heard a number of these stories a number of times. What is this living water? What is this food of life? So even when we're very familiar, even when we're here every Sunday, we need to keep reminding ourselves, he's calling us into a deeper and deeper relationship. So we're coming to faith with living water. Oh, I know you wanted to remember what that was. Coming to faith with living water. Now what about Bartimaeus? This is carefully crafted to show that, you know, even when we have this first awareness, even this first awareness sometimes isn't enough. And it's going to be tested. And the more it's tested, the more opportunities we have to reject it. But what does this young man do? Even when his parents won't even support him, he's willing to be tested. He's willing to suffer criticism. He's willing to be thrown out of the synagogue for this new faith in Jesus that he has. St. Augustine, early in our church life, said, he's us. That blind man is us. So the early Christian community heard these elements of conversion and baptism like Travis and Sarah are going to have here in a few weeks. Anointed. Anointed by the light. They're going to be anointed with oil. So that anointing became an important part of the early baptismal ritual. You may not realize it, but you're going to gain 3 brothers and a sister in about an hour. We're going to baptize a set of twins and another little guy and a little gal. And I want you to go home with joy in your heart because you now have 3 new brothers and a sister in Christ. They're being anointed. that baptismal conversion, that their parents are bringing them here to church to start their faith journey. And it's that baptismal conversion that we see in Hebrews. It's the baptismal conversion we see in the writings of John, the martyr, Justin Martyr, excuse me. Such an important part of what we have to live in our faith. But in that story of the blind man, we also not only saw the baptismal theme, which also was used as a caricature or as a hieroglyph on the catacombs. Even today in Rome, you can find it. The story of the blind man is a symbol of baptism. So how many of us have come to believe in our hearts only after we've had some difficulty in our lives? After we feel we may have been totally abandoned, the only thing left is our faith in God. Maybe it's only then that we understand what it means to say, I do believe. Today, faith tested by death. This is a tough one. I'm hoping my remarks don't offend anyone, especially all the questions mom and dads may get from this, but it's an important part of who we are. It's an important part of the imagery that we typically use. How many kids noticed everything's covered in purple today? Starting on this Sunday, the tradition is we cover all of our religious imagery between now and Easter Vigil. But in this final narrative of this morning, we have to see the different tagging or bringing together of the three stories. The Samaritan woman remained close to Jesus for much of the drama at the well and entered into this long dialogue with him on a very personal basis. Kind of like that journey of our elect. I've been spending since early last September every week delving into Scripture, reading catechism, reflecting upon what this creed that we're all about means in their lives. The dialogue to them is intimate and ongoing. After the Easter Vigil, it starts to tail off, a little bit like the blind man. They're going out there just like you and I have gone out there and been challenged and tested for our faith. Now here we are at that moment seen with Lazarus. And Lazarus never says a word to Jesus or to anyone else. And he only appears in those last few verses. So the Samaritan woman is us coming to the faith. The man born blind is the faith that we acquire only through depth that comes from testing. And then the story of Lazarus is the one we all will face, where our faith has to face death. Now Jesus can and does bring Lazarus back to life, but that wasn't his purpose for coming into the world. Jesus comes to give life that cannot be touched by death. So that for all of us who believe, we will never die. True faith has to include a belief in Jesus as our source of unending life. So how does this fit into our Lenten journey of faith? Even after the initial struggle of faith, the faith made mature through testing. Facing death often uniquely challenges our belief. Whether it be the death of a loved one or our own impending death, it is the moment where one realizes that all truly depends on God and that no human support will go with us to the grave. There's no trailer hitch on the hearse. We go as we came in, alone and only ourselves. If there is no God, there's nothing for us to go to. If Christ has not conquered death, how can there be a future? Paul says in Corinthians, death is the last enemy to overcome. John captures this in the story of Lazarus, because the story of Lazarus in John is his last proclamation in his public ministry. From it we learn that no matter how fervently we make or renew our baptismal profession of faith, we will still face the last moment within our faith, where we will all be tested. And so we need to hear and we need to embrace that I am the life, and everyone who believes in me shall never die. Way back on Ash Wednesday, we began Lent as a reminder that we all return to dust. We end our Lenten journey now at Easter with this proclamation of new life, life in Christ for us all. I want to close with some remarks that Pope Francis made in one of his first audiences after becoming Pope. The raising of Lazarus shows us that there is no limit to the divine mercy which is offered to every one of us. The Lord is always ready to roll away the tombstones of our sins which separate us from Him, the light of the living. So Jesus calls to us as He called to Lazarus in his tomb. Come out. And this call is addressed to every one of us, because we will all be marked by death. So Christ is not resigned to the sepulchres that we construct because of the choices of evil and death that we've made in our mistakes, in our sins. No, Jesus invites us. He almost orders us to come out of the tombs into which our sin has plunged us, because this is where our resurrection begins. When we decide to obey the command of Jesus to come into the light, to the life, when the masks fall from our faces and we rediscover the courage of our original faces, those faces created in the image and likeness of God.